Welcome to Battle Cry. This is Jim Green. I just want to encourage you to take time and tune in to the broadcast, because these are some very interesting things I'm going to be discussing over the next month in the area of curses, soul ties, and of course this is all in the relation with spiritual warfare. Praise God. God is raising up an army today that is going to put Satan out of business. And I am really thrilled about that. God is looking for men and women, boys and girls, that will rise up with spiritual authority, take dominion, and say, Satan, I'm sick and tired of you harassing me, and I'm going to put you out of business. Now, this is what God is wanting out of the people. He's always intended for his people to win. And it grieves God's heart to see his children beat down, depressed, oppressed, sick, a lack of commitment. God is wanting a people that is victorious to proclaim freedom to the captives. Glory to God. And I'm going to be talking in the area here of some things that will definitely affect us here and now. I'm not waiting to go to heaven to get a crown to wear on my head, brother and sister. I want to rule now. I want to master the enemy now. You know, that's great. I know I'll get that later, but I want to be a victorious Christian now. So let's just take time to go into the Word of God, and I want to talk today on the sins of ancestors or forefathers. So, Father, we just come before you now, praise and thanksgiving. We ask, O God, that your word would be blessed. I just bind the strong man. I curse the works of Satan. I command him to loose his hold on our minds now, that we can perceive your truth, God. We love your word. We love your truth, God. We just pray that we'll be blessed today. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. Glory to God. Now, I'm going to be talking about the sins of our ancestors and how we are affected by curses. And people often say that they're not under any kind of curse. What do you mean, Jim Green? What are you talking about? I'm a Christian. I'm not under any kind of curse. Well, as far as final salvation, of course not, if we're really saved and we're really walking with God. But we can be affected by curses here and now in this life. Praise God. So you did not automatically shed them when you were born again. You repented of your sins, at least I hope you did, and God did take your sins and put them behind his back. See, some deny this, stating the fact that Jesus died to take away the curse. Well, that's true. He did die to take away the curse. But let me tell you, people, he also died for the sins of the entire world, according to John 3:16. Now, see, if we're to follow this line of reasoning, everyone would be automatically saved, but it's not true, is it? Realistically speaking, not everybody is saved. Why? Well, it's a simple thing here. See, the potential is there, and the price has been paid by his own death, but we must personally apply the provision and put it in motion. Praise God. And it's likewise in the realm of deliverance. See, from these curses is available for us. However, it must be invoked in order to receive freedom from these legal grounds that Satan plays with. The demonic activity in our life here. Praise God. We must apply it personally, just like we did salvation. We must personally believe in our hearts, profess with the mouth. It's the same with these curses. It could be on our life. And I'm going to talk about curses, how we can be cursed by God and be cursed by Satan. Boy, these are some interesting things, aren't they? Hallelujah. I didn't really understand any of this until a couple years ago. God began to show us some things here, why the enemy had certain strongholds in our life. We just couldn't seem to overcome it. Have you ever heard the saying that, well, it's just in their blood? Or in other words, well, they've got bad blood. You know, where they say, oh, that's just a trait of mother or father. You know, they just like their parents. Have you ever heard that said? Oh, I have. They say, oh, it just runs in the family. You know, his father was a drunkard. Oh, he's a drunkard. He's like his old man. Well, you know, there is some truth to this. Praise God. And I'm going to be exposing some of Satan's little tactics here that he's hidden so long from us. So let's go to the book of Exodus and verse 34, or chapter 34, verse 7. And I'm going to read out of that. It says, keeping mercy for thousands for iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children unto the third and to the fourth generation. Praise God. Now here we have a scripture that curses God can put a curse on a family here from the third and fourth generation, visiting the iniquity of the fathers. What iniquity? What is that? It's somebody that has committed some disobedient act against God's law, just in Israel. When God put Israel in the land, he says, listen, Israel, don't do after the heathen in the land. See? Praise God. That God gave Israel, of course, the natural descendants of Abraham, the law in order to teach him to recognize sin and know its meaning. And we can find that in Romans 7:7. See, in the law, God warned of specific consequences that result from specific sins. And this is what I'm dealing with here. Now, just keep this in mind. See, these were the curses of the law, and they were intended to deter sin by warning about the results of sin. That's why he put the law in. He said, listen, if you commit this sin, look at the consequences going to come. That's why he put it in motion there. See, although the law was from God, the good old Satan took advantage of the curses to bring destruction about in human race. See, that's what he's done. Now, since the effects of a curse are not just on a sinner himself, but also on his offspring. In Deuteronomy 5:9 and Exodus 25, I'll read that scripture in a minute. But because of our sins of our ancestors, Satan has come along and took a hold of this and caused havoc in our life. He jumped on the bandwagon. Praise God. You say, well, all that was under the Old Testament. It was under the law. We're under grace now. Everything's just fine. You know, I'm saved. I'm sanctified even. You know, I'm going to go to heaven. I'm going to be raptured out of the earth. Well, let's talk about some of these things, shall we? Let's just see. The effects of the mental, and physical illnesses we have, the bad habits, the addictions, negative personality traits. I tell you, these are some things we find in the Christian circle. We don't just find them out in the sinner's circle. We find them in the Christian circle. Christians with bad habits, drinking, smoking, committing sexual acts, you know, lust, all these things, fear, addiction, negative personality traits, inabilities, you know, phobias. Man, I could just go on and on, mention some of these things, compulsions, obsessions, immorality, calamities in their lives. Praise God. There's all kinds of things that affect us because of Satan that could have resulted from the sins of our ancestors. Praise God. Now, let's go to, well, I'm not going to turn there, but I will mention in Numbers 14, verse 18, God repeats the same law that I just read in Exodus 34. And again, he repeats it in the Exodus, the 20th chapter, verse 5. And at the end of that, he taxed on this, of them that hate me, meaning those that do not obey or keep his word. That's why he gave them the law, that they would obey to see the consequences of sin of disobedience. Praise God. Now, God visits the iniquity of the fathers. In other words, he personally placed a curse upon our forefathers, and that curse could be passed on down from us to generation to generation. And we may not even be aware of it. See, just because, you know, we're thousands of years on down the line from when this was laid out, it doesn't mean nothing. The curses are still in effect. God still is the same righteous God. He still abhors sin and detests incest and fornication and all this stuff, but yet a lot of Christians still participate in this. Praise God, and it ought to be this way. Now, well, let's just take time here to talk about some of these things in the book of Deuteronomy. I just want to read a scripture out there for you, and I'm going to show you something here in Deuteronomy 23, verse 2 and 3. It says, a bastard shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord, even to his tenth generation. Now here we see God dealing 10 generations, brother. Why? Because this is something that God really looks down on, is in the area of fornication and incest and adultery. Praise God. Much more than worshiping idols and so on and so forth. Even to his 10th generation shall he not enter into the congregation of the Lord. Verse 3, an Amorite or Moabite shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord. Even to their 10th generation shall they not enter into the congregation of the Lord. Have you ever wondered about that? See, it was those in the family of incest. Or mixed marriages shall bear a curse for 10 generations. That's heavy, isn't it? See, now the Amorites and Moabites, if you're wondering who they were, they are the descendants of Lot's two daughters by incest. they have a curse on them to the 10th generation because of that abominable thing that they did. Praise God. And this is why I am talking on the area of the sins of our ancestors, is because, say, our great-great-great-grandfather committed some filthy act. Say he was a Christian and he committed some act. Say incest or witchcraft or any of those things. All right, God cursed him because the Word of God says so. God cursed him. All right, therefore that curse is passed down from generation to generation, maybe on down to 3 and 4, depends on how bad, on down to 10 generations. And we are, say we're born in the 10th generation, we come out and we just wonder why we are affected. We wonder why we have the spirit of lust working in us. We wonder why we have cravings to commit sexual acts, maybe even the homosexual acts. We wonder why we are seemingly born this way. I've heard this said by homosexual lesbian, well, I'm just born this way. Folks, you're not born that way. It's probably a curse from your ancestors. It's an inherited spirit. Demon, more specific. Praise God. And then we come out and we say we give our life to the Lord, and we go on in a Christian walk, and pretty soon with those same old things we felt in the world begin to pop up in the area of lust, the fleshly desires. It may not be just lust for the opposite sex or the same sex. It could be lust for the things in the world. Although you're a Christian, you just love the things in the world. Well, it could be because of the sins of our ancestors. Praise God. And this is why we need to understand the Word of God and break those curses. And once you broke the curse, then you can be set free from that spirit that's working in you. See? Because God's Word is true. God's Word is true. And this is why people say, well, I'm not under any curse, I'm under grace. Yes, but we didn't automatically shed everything. This is why Paul told us in Philippians 2:12, I believe, somewhere around there, that we are to work out our salvation. Or walk out our salvation. Well, salvation is a free gift according to the Word of God, then why do we need to work it out? Why do we have to pay back? Well, this is what I'm saying. A lot of work must be done as we walk with God, such as breaking curses, breaking soul ties, clearing the sins of our ancestors. You say, why do I have to do that? Because the Word of God says so. Because that curse could affect us. And Paul, he was a man of God that, you know, when he stood before Felix the governor of Caesarea, he said, I confess unto thee that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets. Paul obviously read the sins of the fathers here. He believed it. You hear that? He believed it. Now, you don't think that Paul believed that and you think he just bypassed it, do you? I think he applied it. I think he did a lot of breaking the curses and things like that. I think he did a lot of that. Praise God. Because he believed it. And he must apply it. And he stood before King Agrippa and said, King Agrippa, believest thou the prophet? He said, I know thou believest. See, he built everything that's in the New Testament up on the Old. The Old Testament, the things that was written there, he just built on top of that. That was a foundation. Praise God. And when we get into the area of deliverance, casting out a demon, and all this, you will see how he went back and related to what was written in the law and in the prophets. Those principles that will be in effect for us today if we will apply them, see, like salvation. Jesus Christ died for the sins of the world, folks, but not everybody was going to accept him. They will not automatically be saved because they must personally apply that. Now, of course, the Bible says that my people perish for lack of knowledge, and they also perish for not having a vision. Now, this is why that we must have knowledge of how God operates. Now, he wasn't just talking about we need knowledge of doctrine, you know, like trying to be the Bible answer man, know it all, you know, call ourselves a doctrine professor and all this baloney. That's great to have knowledge of things, brother, but we must apply the knowledge. We must let it work in our life. We must walk this thing out. You know, when God took the example of the enemies in the land, he used Israel to go in to possess the land that he had given them. He said, Joshua, look out across that land. I have given you that for an inheritance. He says, oh, there's just one small thing I forgot to tell you. You didn't read on the fine print there that inside that land is giants, fortified cities, and powerful armies. I forgot to tell you that. There it is in the fine print. You know, when we come into this inheritance in Christ Jesus, If we read the fine print, we'd see there's also giants in the land, fortified cities, and powerful armies that's trying to resist us from coming in the land. Those armies were in there. They did not want Israel in the land. They tried to keep them out. But God says, don't worry about it. Just, I'll go before you and I'll drive them out. But they had to follow the instructions of the commander-in-chief to drive the enemies out, did they? They sought God on every council, how to pull the strongholds down, how to win the war. Then we must seek God also, how to drive the enemies out, how to pull down the strongholds, how to break through the demonic walls that we have got built in our life because maybe of the sins of the ancestors, maybe because of our own sins. I tell you, I'm surprised how naive Christians are. We are so dumb and gullible, I can't believe it. We think that we're just because we're saved, we confess our sin, you know, we've got a ticket into heaven. But yet, we didn't read the fine print. Every soul, place the sole of your foot treads upon, that is yours. This is what they had to do. They walked out the land. They drove the enemies out as they possessed it. And as they possessed it, they depossessed. The enemies were kicked out. Now, you can't convince me that we don't have enemies standing in our way of reaching the goal that we've got our eyes set on, or the prize of the high calling, of obtaining that place on Mount Zion. Getting back to that place of dominion and power that Adam, the first, had. Walking and talking in a clear communication with God. You can't tell me that there's not enemies stopping us and blocking our way. But yet we act like, oh, you know, God is just a gimme God. He's just going to bless me, bless me, bless me. And we forget all about there's a war on. And this is why we're not progressing as a Christian nation. You know, we're just more stagnant and we're more compromising and lukewarm than we've ever been in the history. Why? We are partaking of the things of the heathen. We've got one hand in Satan and one hand in God. And say, oh, I want to go both ways. We're trying to walk this thing spiritually. We're trying to let our human reasoning go the same way. It won't work, folks. It won't work. God says, come out from among them. Be ye separate. Don't partake of the abominations of the land. That's what Israel did. That's why he gave them the law. He gave them the law that they would recognize sin. And he also says, because of this, I want to show you the consequences of it. Praise God. Now, it's the same thing today. We could have curses on us because of what our ancestors did. And this is why we need to break those curses. We need to break them. Now, I want to read a scripture here. In Malachi 2:2, on the same line of reasoning here, he says, when God spoke to the prophet Malachi, he says, if you will not hear, and if you will not lay it to heart to give glory unto my name, saith the Lord of hosts, I will even send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessing. Gee, I have already cursed them. Now, don't tell me the all-loving, that sweet God of just love and peace and harmony. You mean God would actually curse the people? Oh, yes, God would curse the people. If he cursed them back then, brother and sister, for sin, he's going to curse us today for the same thing. You say, well, I'm under grace. That's right. We're under grace as long as we obey God. Just like as long as they obeyed the law, God didn't curse them. If we walk out from under grace and we commit the acts of the heathen and try to do the things of the heathen in the land, we are going to be cursed by God. Why? Because we don't lay it to heart to obey what he has written. That's why. We bring it upon ourselves. Praise God. And of course, verse 3, the Lord goes on to say, behold, I will corrupt your seed. Now, this is what I've been talking about. That curse could go on down from generation to generation, through seed to seed to seed. He said, I'm going to corrupt it. I'm not going to let Satan do it, brother. I'm going to do it. And he says, I'm going to spread dung upon your face. Oh, that nasty old God doing that to a people. Oh, yes. Yeah. See, we built a God of imagination in this 1980s. You know, we've let this charismatic, they call, quote, renewal come in, thinking God is just going to bless us and just build these big, fine works for God, and we're just going to have just a wonderful time playing with the gifts of God, and, you know, we're going to just play around the world and think we're going to win the world to God because God is a God of love and blessings. And brother and sister, we have forgot about consecration. We forgot about dedication. We forgot all about separation. We say, oh, that was God of the Old Testament. That old fogey, you know, he ought to change his way. We're in a new age. You betcha. We are in a new age. It's an age of Satan, brother and sister. We forgot about the God of righteousness and holiness that still requires consecration from his people's hearts. And you wonder why you're walking around cursed. You wonder why you cannot progress in God. It could be because you've deliberately sinned or you have a curse upon your life. Praise God. These are some pretty heavy things to be talking about, but I tell you, we need to talk about. We need to talk about these things. See, Jesus bore every curse for us on the cross. See, so that we could be free from their effects. You know, from our offspring. I mean, we need to apply these things. Galatians 3:13 tells us this, also in Colossians 2:14 and 15. See, but this does not happen automatically. I want you to get this through your head. This does not automatically happen. See, it doesn't matter. Satan is a nitpicker, see. He'll come along and use the curses against anyone who is ignorant. And that's us. A lot of times we're ignorant. See, that there are curses is not standing in faith or for them to be specifically broken. He'll come along and play on our ignorance. If our curse is not specifically broken, and we're not standing in the faith that he did die and he did break the curse, then he'll come along and play on that. That's why you see Christians in a mental institution. You'll see Christians hexed and vexed. You'll see Christians legal and illegal drug addicts. You'll see them on the bottle. So why? Somewhere, somehow, brother and sister, we're not breaking curses, and we're not staying in the faith, and we're not taking dominion that's rightly ours. And we're putting Jesus Christ to shame because we're not doing these things. He's already paid the price. He paved the way. He opened the door. Why don't we walk to it? Why don't we apply those things in his word? Why? We get lazy. We don't want to search him out. We think God is a big gimme God. I want this God and I want that God. I'm not satisfied with this. I need a bigger house, a bigger car, a bigger wallet. I need a bigger paycheck. I need a bigger congregation. That's all we perceive God for anymore. It's something we can get. Have we ever considered giving something to God? Like our heart? Call it him. You're talking old fashioned. God has not changed. Praise God. And in the next broadcast, I want to give in, take time to give you a list of some curses that can come upon us. I mean, there's quite a bit of curses, either mentioned or implied in the Word of God. Praise God. Now, these are some heavy things. Now, I don't want to leave you hanging here. There are just simple prayers that we can pray to break curses. They're very simple. And all we have to do is just come before the Lord and say, God, I just want to ask forgiveness for sinning against you. I want to ask forgiveness for my ancestors that I may be aware of that committed sins and that curse has been passed down to me. I just want to ask forgiveness in the name of Jesus. I want to break that curse from off my life. See, my family was cursed with poverty because of my father's disobedience and not being a preacher when he was called. And that curse went on to me. Now the curse has been broken. But for a long time, I struggled in the realm of finances. Even though, you know, I knew God's word said he wants us to be blessed. And I applied all the principles, but still I didn't understand about curses until God began to show us that it was a curse. Praise God. So we must apply and appropriate the verse where it says that he has bore the curse for us. He's redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. See? Curses everyone that hangs on a tree. That's true. He did. He paved the way, opened the door for it. But this fact and promise is of no value, folks, to you or to me until we apply it and apply it personally to our lives. Just as salvation, we had to apply it personally, didn't we? Praise God, before it really actually worked. And this is why it's so sad to see traditional Christians. Well, my great-grandfather was a this and he was a that. And that makes me one. It don't make you anything. If you're not saved, if you didn't personally repent of your sins and apply the blood of Jesus Christ over your life, you are not a Christian. I don't care what name you carry. You could be a Baptist, Methodist, Episcopalian, Pentecost, Catholic. I don't care what you call yourself. Unless you personally apply it, if it does you no good, you're still on your way to a burning lake of fire. Tradition won't get the job done. Just because you're sitting in a church, it doesn't make you a Christian. A Christian means to be Christ-like. That's what Paul was trying to tell the old governor there, Felix. He said, man, everything that's written in the law of the prophets, I know that's there and I believe that. And I also not only believe it, but I apply it to my life. And everything that's built in the New Testament, praise God, the Old Testament was a foundation. And do you know that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John was still part of the Old Testament? You say, well, that's New Testament. No, it isn't. The New Testament was not set in until after the death of the tester. Jesus had to die before the New Testament was set in grace. And what you find in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John was still under the Old Testament. Jesus still taught the Old Testament in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And a lot of the principles he laid out there were still under there, under the law. And he just came to not do away with the law, but to fulfill the law. In other words, bring it into its fullness, to make us whole Christians. Praise God. Make us people of victory and power. I'm just hoping that these broadcasts will help you. And I know probably some of you don't even understand half this because you've never heard it before. Hey, it doesn't matter. It still works if you apply it. Why don't you spend time with God and ask God if there's any curses on your life? You could be cursed in the area of finances. You could have a curse on you of sickness and illnesses. We find it all the time working in deliverance. We have to break curses with people. 10, 20, 30, 40 generations back on both sides of the family, we break these before people can be liberated to walk in the glorious liberty of Jesus Christ. These are some things that Paul was saying are working out your salvation. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. That means the Old Testament, the New Testament, folks. And it's profitable for who? For the man of God. That's you and me. And it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. Now, these are some instructions I'm giving you in righteousness. If we break curses of our ancestors, then we can walk a more righteous life in Christ Jesus. We don't have to have those old things pulling on us. We can say, devil, get out of my life. Get out of my face. Bless God, I'm on your trail now. Praise God. And this is how we must act as Christian soldiers. We must rise up with an authority that's invested in His name. See, we don't... I hear a lot of testimonies, oh, the devil's doing this, and the devil's doing this, and the devil's doing that. I heard this from the devil. Very few Christians ever hear what God's saying to them. We give too much glory to Satan, what he's saying to us. But listen, Satan has maybe not always have cursed us. God has. See, the hedge is gone. Just like in Job, he had a hedge around him, brother. But when we sin, we drop the old hedge down, and Satan just walks right across that old hedge that's been knocked down and comes right into our life and says, hello, Christian, I'm going to cause problems in your life. I just love to cause you pain. I'm just going to just afflict your body. I'm going to make your emotions go havoc. I'm going to just bind you up mentally. Oh, he just loves it. Why? The hedge is down. He has a right to come in. He has legal right to stop our blessings from God. See, we have a curse on our finances. Praise God. And a lot of these things that Christians have. And this is nothing but demonic spirits, the familiar spirits. If you want to know what a familiar spirit is, they are spirits passed down from generation to generation that are familiar with our bloodline. That's what familiar spirits is. Praise God. And when you get into the realm of deliverance, you come face to face with demonic activity and demons, it'll make you a believer. That's why the Bible says, cast out demons in my name. Deliverance is for God's people. It's for God's people. Oh, yes, we can use it for sinners. If we cast the demons out and get them saved, it's great. But, brother, it doesn't no good unless they're going to walk with Jesus Christ and fill the house with Him. Deliverance is for God's people. Cast off the works of darkness. What in the world are works of darkness? Those filthy, ungodly things that you're doing in the flesh. That's what the works of darkness is. You know, sitting in front of a television set, paying homage to that one-eyed devil, taking in all that filth and garbage, taking in all that junk that Satan has offered. Oh, I don't want to get on to that. Some of you may get offended. Praise God. Well, my time is up today, but just tune in again on Monday night at 8 o'clock, Thursday night at 8 o'clock, Saturday morning or afternoon at 12:30, and Sunday morning at 10, and we're going to continue on in this discussion. So God bless you. We'll see you then.